sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sahagana lalita tapta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavaneshwari vrishabhanu sute devi pranamani Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindho, Dina, Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopeshi, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namaste. Vancha, Kalpa, Taru, Pyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Vyavacha, Patitanam, Pavane, Bhyo, Vaishnave, Bhyo, Namo, Namaha. Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shirvedigarada, Shivasadi, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we can have a quick look through. Well, we can choose, can't we? Oh, so many. You want to have a look and choose some?
Have a look and choose.
Oh, a lot of them. Oh.
What is the qualification for Pancharatri Diksha? In ISKCON, the qualification is that you have to follow the regular principles and chant 16 rounds for at least a year and have the approval of your spiritual master. That's the basic qualification these days. As far as you know, days gone by, I can't say, but that's the story today. Does that answer the question?
My question is more around duty worship.
Same thing. This, in ISKCON, this Pancharatri Diksha is called second initiation. That's how it's generally known, a Brahman initiation. Once you receive that initiation, then you can do the Puja and all of that. So that's the qualification in ISKCON. At the minimum, you have to follow the regular principles and chant 16 rounds. Supposed to be for at least a year. And the spiritual master has to be satisfied that this is a qualified person, serious person. It's not that he has to say, all right, you did a year, I have to give you initiation. That's up to him. So,
these are for you specifically.
Mm-hmm. These are for me specifically.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I got one for me specifically.
I mentioned that Krishna's mercy can come in a form we may not like. Let us say one is going through some mental suffering in some situation. How can we know whether Krishna wants us to undergo that suffering or make a new decision because of the suffering? Well, Krishna doesn't want us to suffer. We're the ones who chose to come to this material world, and that's where the suffering is. Now, a new decision because of that suffering? Do you mean a strategic decision? The real decision should be that I should surrender more seriously to Krishna. If I'm going through suffering, then that should be my response. Now, whether I decide to do something, to, you know, depending on what it is, whether it's a financial question or personal relationship question, a career question, something. that you have to decide. But all these decisions or all of these troubles are meant for ultimately for helping us to surrender to Krishna. The devotee sees that way. He sees everything as being related to Krishna. So, and for the devotee, whether things get better or things get worse, it's all good. Prabhupada gave the example of an expert investor in the stock market. It doesn't matter to him whether the market goes up or down. When the market goes up, he sells and makes a profit, and when the market goes down, he buys cheap. So either way, it's all right for him. So for a devotee, Krishna sends happiness, so good, in general, Krishna will be happy. And if Krishna sends difficulty, well, good, we'll get more serious about it.
Want to add something? It's difficult for us to condition souls to live by this. But that is the standard. It is difficult, isn't it? The story of Job in the Bible, you may know that story, I vaguely know it. He was tested in so many ways by God. It's losing his money, losing his reputation, losing his health, losing everything. So the patience of Job, he didn't curse God. And then God said to him, I'm God, I can do anything I like to you. I'm paraphrasing it, you may know better than me.
It's been a while since we read Job.
Yeah, difficult to live by, but that's the standard. Tatenu kampan susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritang vipakang hridvagvakubhya viridhan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya vak. Go on suffering, thinking that, well, I deserve it, but let me go on serving Krishna. But that's the standard to become eligible for... We were talking about, you were quoting Srila Prabhupada, reading from the purport where Krishna can, for all our mechanical hearing and chanting, mechanical regulated hearing and chanting, Krishna may or may not award devotional service. But in this verse, which I just said, it's Brahma tells Krishna, and Krishna didn't object, that if anyone goes on like this, accepting the results of their previous activities, suffering in that way, and just going on serving Krishna, then they become eligible. What's the word? They become. It becomes their right to go back to Godhead. It's there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so Krishna can't go against it. So it is hard for us to live by, because we are under the misconception that everything is meant for my enjoyment. But the opposite, we have to change that consciousness. Whole of Krishna consciousness, changing the consciousness from I am an enjoyer of this material world to I am a toy doll of Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsabhritta Jare Joiche Nachai Tare Toiche Karanirta. Krishna is the only one controller and all others are his servants. As he makes them dance, so they have to dance. And actually in such a situation, if one has such consciousness, then he can be happy in any situation. Whereas someone who's trying to enjoy this material world, they're never happy in any situation. And the evidence of that is the United States of America, where the whole culture is one of simply let us enjoy. Eat, drink, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. What's the origin of that? Any idea? Srila Prabhupada often used to say that. It's from the Bible? It's just a technical question.
I'd have to look and see.
I tried to find it once on the internet.
Be married for tomorrow, we shall There's a similar, if not the same one in the Bible, but I'm not sure what it probably says in the same way.
So people who live, who think that the goal of life is to enjoy this world, they're always frustrated because it doesn't give actual enjoyment. Whereas people who think, well, whatever happens, I have to go on serving Krishna, they can be happy like that. Living like birds, giving up everything and living like birds in Vrindavan. Just birds, they get up in the morning, they have no idea where their food will come from. They don't worry. So, should I go on? Yeah, please.
I just wanted to mention that we have an example of a personality like that within our movement as Jayananda Prabhu. Who exhibited these qualities. Hare Krishna. Anyway, Jayananda Prabhu exhibited these qualities. He was faced with a decision whether to live or to die. Because he had this kind of cancer. And so it was decided, well, he could try some cure. He went to Mexico and tried some cure, but it wasn't working. And he really didn't want to do that. But he did anyway, because he was really right in the middle of creating the first LA Rapiata. And so he came back. And he just decided that this was it. He had to suffer this through and leave his body and put on the Ratha Yatra at the same time. And he did that. So if we study his life, we can see that he was able to imbibe these qualities that you're speaking about right now. Because he's the first ISKCON saint, people have said.
Therefore, tapasya, voluntarily accepting difficulties in the service of Krishna. Question. The active principle in the life of a disciple is pleasing the spiritual master by carrying out his orders. In the course of carrying out the spiritual master's orders, he may meet with success or failure in our endeavors. What then is bringing satisfaction to the spiritual master? Is it the success of the disciple's endeavors or the determination despite failures or setbacks? In this regard, I'll cite Tejas Prabhu, our godbrother, who was in Delhi in the early 1970s, based in Delhi. No one wanted to stay in Delhi. But Vrindavan was just down the road. Who wants to stay in Delhi if you can stay in Vrindavan? But Srila Prabhupada posted him there and gave him many, many services to do. Make all the MPs, life members, so he had to maintain ISKCON Vrindavan and give so much money for the construction, manage the accounts, and Srila Prabhupada piled services on top of him one after another. And he had very little assistance. So at one point he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada, the essence of which was, help! I'm overwhelmed. It's too much. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back a letter saying that it's not actually the service. The spiritual master gives you so many services to do, but actually we just wants to see that you're engaged in devotional service. That's all. So that's the answer. Okay? And a few days later, Srila Prabhupada sent a letter with more and more services. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. So what's the answer? Jai Srila Prabhupada. Ask him when you see him. What is the answer? Yes, the thing is that it's the attitude. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction in the preface, which is worth reading every so often, even if you don't read the whole book, just the preface, because every line is packed with so many important instructions. So Srila Prabhupada writes that advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. Very important. We have so many questions here about advancement in devotional service. It depends on the attitude of the performer. But at the same time, we have a very important task to do. Srila Prabhupada has given us the task to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and for that purpose to establish temples, to maintain temples. Temples are not for eating and sleeping, but bases from which we go out and distribute books to the conditioned souls, just like the bombs are raining down in the wartime. Srila Prabhupada gave us so many things to do. So we want it to be a success. The attitude, okay, so-and-so Das went out all day and tried very hard and distributed one book. He tried very hard. He was sincere. Very good. But we'd rather he went out and tried very hard and did 200 books. So in one sense, it's the same because the attitude is trying. On the other hand, we want to see that the result is there. Kalyapani Prabhu, you remember Medhavi, you, me and Medhavi were on a traveling party for several months, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Together. And myself and Kalyapani, he was number one every week in Britain, and I was number two, and Medhavi was way down on the list, but he was trying. He'd keep on going out, trying, and then at some point it just clicked. Actually, then he went to South Africa, and he was the main collector for building the temple in Durban. So he kept on trying, and the result came. So it's both. Is it this? What pleases the spiritual master? Definitely Srila Prabhupada is pleased with results. He was result-oriented. He gave so many tasks to do. So, but at the same time, he recognized the sincerity of the devotee. And it may not be. He also wrote in one purport that about how everyone should be a guru and a preacher, but he says not that everyone's going to be like Ramanujacharya. That's not possible. Often he cited Jare Dekho Tare Koho Krishna Upadesh Amaragai Guru Hoya Tara Edesh. Whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna on my order, become a guru. And Srila Prabhupada, you can be a guru to your family members. That's also fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. First guru is the mother. So everyone should work to their capacity and more. That was another of Srila Prabhupada's amazing gifts that he made from people who it seemed had no potential. He brought out amazing things that they did by pushing them, do this, do that. So we have to work according to our capacity and more. The attitude is essential, but we want to see success also. So you have another question for yourself.
There are so many health-related problems, like diabetes, high blood pressure, disease-related heart and brain, and so on. But to perform devotional service, one must have good health. So can, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, can chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra keep us away from all bodily diseases? Couple of points here. First thing is you don't need good health to render devotional service. In Vrindavan and Prabhupada's last days, he was as far away from good health as one could imagine. And he was absorbed in pure devotional service. So it's not that unless you're in perfect health or good health or even halfway decent health, you can't serve. We serve according to what we can do. Devotional service, the quality of devotional service is it can't be stopped by any material condition, such as bad health, financial problems, marital problems, mental problems, this problem, that problem. when a serious link goes on stream. And then the second thing, by chanting Maha Mantra, can that keep us away from all diseases? Why do you want that? By chanting the Maha Mantra, you can get free from all material existence and go back to Godhead. And you just want to solve the diabetes problem? This solves the birth and death problem. That solves all the other problems.
Postscript. Are you going to say something more?
One other thing, but for health-related things, the way of life that Prabhupada has given us, what is that? Nidrahara viharasya, yuktahara viharasya, yuktachesya karmasu, yuktaswapnobhavasya, yogobhavati dukaha. One gets free from all miseries as far as possible by regulated life. No intoxicants, no gambling, no eating, no illicit sex. And then regulation in most activities, not working too much, not working too little, not eating too much, not eating too little. That will solve so many of health problems can be solved just by eating decent properly. Just by that. And by sleeping regularly. So many problems. But we have a crazy way of life and then we want to chant Hare Krishna or go to the doctor and solve our health related problems. That's, you know, people go, like they're eating meat, they're drinking, they're smoking, and they're going to an Ayurvedic clinic. So simple regulated life will help us.
I have a question about that. There are so many diseases which are, they're called lifestyle diseases, lifestyle disorders, and this and that. But then we see, just like the venerable POTUS, President of the United States, he's, what do they call it, burger gobbing or something. I saw it, he was described. He eats burgers, and he I don't, as far as I know, he doesn't. Not much of a health fanatic. And you see many people, this, who is that with the unpronounceable Polish name who was the Secretary of State for Nixon, was it? Zbigniew or something like that.
Oh, Brzezinski?
Brzezinski, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So he lived to 90-something. I don't think he lived a very pious life. So what's going on here?
Well, there are different things that can be said. One is that these people are, it may be that they're not very healthy, but they're just putting the whole thing, keeping the whole business together with scotch tape and staples.
Scotch whiskey. Scotch whiskey.
Scotch whiskey. Another thing is, on account of their previous activities, they have a certain lifespan.
Yeah, and that was my conclusion, actually. It's karma. Karma is a major factor. Daivam chaivatra panchamam. It's almost a factor. Okay, this is... Oh, something else I wanted to add to that. That twice within a few days, Srila Prabhupada, he got letters from, one was from a young girl, a disciple. She was 13 years old. She was dying of some disease. And then he also got a letter from Los Angeles from a devotee who was suffering from, crippled from arthritis. She wanted to go on book distribution, but she couldn't, or she was trying to. Anyway, in both cases, Srila Prabhupada wrote very short letters in reply. And more or less saying, well, you just have to tolerate the bodies like that. But just a few words I remember from he put in each letter, that pleasure is a misconception. Heavy, huh? Heavy, true. Pleasure is a misconception. Okay, I'll take this. The need for a...
Oh, I just wanted to add something.
Yeah, okay.
About Third House, we had another godbrother, Guru Chaitanya Prabhu, who was the original cook in Vrindavan. He would cook all the offerings for Krishna Balaram,
Every offering, every day.
He was personally doing everything. When he became too old and couldn't carry on, they engaged 5 brahmacharis to replace him in service. So then he took on the service. He would sit in the temple and give charanamrita to the devotees. And
All day.
And when he became so old that he was like bent over, you know, and not able to do that, then he was staying in the room, in the back, chanting Hare Krishna, listening to the classes, and he had little pictures of Krishna Balaram, Madhishan Center, and he would take some flowers and decorate them. But he continued his service to the end.
The need for a Diksha Guru is understandable, but what is the need or importance of the initiation ceremony? Where does this ceremony originate from? Where can we find it in Shastra? Shastra Hari Bhakti Vilas gives elaborate details of initiation ceremonies. I wonder if anyone ever followed it all. Like many other things in Hari Bhakti Vilas, extremely elaborate. It's formal acceptance. Ceremony. It's a sangskar. It's not one of the... There are the various sangskars or ceremonies for religious ceremonies for people in regular sangsaric life. Which sangskar means a ceremony. It also means what makes an impression in the mind. So the ceremony also makes an impression in the mind, just like the vivaha sangskar, the marriage ceremony. In some castes in India, it used to be 7 days of rituals, non-stop, day and night. It makes a big impression on the mind. This is something very important. It's a big commitment. So the ceremony also makes an impression in the mind. And of course, that this is something very important. I have to commit to it. There are so many the rituals. It's not just something that someone dreamed up to pass time pass. But the prayers to Krishna, invoking the blessings of the acharyas. So it is important also. In fact, this fire sacrifice, that's not actually required for giving Harinam. Srila Prabhupada introduced that. It makes an impression on the mind. Something very important here is going on. So it's there in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and Hari Bhakti Vilas is extracted from various ancient shastras. So whoever thinks it's not in Shastra now knows that it is in Shastra. That's all I have to say on that.
How to conquer, there's 3 questions. How to conquer oversleeping? One answer is eat less. We eat more, we have to sleep more. Another answer is be regulated. If you take rest at a regular time, it's easier to get up at a regular time. Another answer is take rest early to bed, early to rise. Because you'll get better sleep out of bed. That's like before midnight. The hours count from there. Apart from that, be very busy in devotional service, because if we're on the transcendental platform of enthusiasm and engagement and looking forward to what we're doing, then there's not enough hours in the day and we don't want to sleep. But if we're dull, then looks like a good alternative. What is it? What does it mean, falling down? I heard from Prabhupada, falling down. He said, this is the beginning of this fall down. Fall down means forgetting Krishna, or forgetting the spiritual master and his instructions. That's fall down. As soon as we forget it, we're falling. Why am I so confused about things? Why the mind is not clear, even though I'm following sadhana? Speaking too much. Why? Because one thing is, consider whether how confused you were before and see whether you're less confused now. The whole world is confused. Everyone is confused. Having this body and mind means being confused. So it's not so if we're confused, it's not surprising. But if we're a little less confused, then we're making progress.
If a devotee is getting a salary for his service, is it still considered devotional service? Srila Prabhupada's unequivocal answer to this was no. He did, however, allow that a stipend can be given to devotees who are fully engaged in service, for householders, not for brahmacharis or sannyasis. So that can be given. What's the difference between a stipend and a salary? Well, stipend is the minimum required. It can be a difficult question, because medical expenses can be, usually are, far beyond what can be afforded on a stipend, and they'll arise. So it's a difficult question, but in general, what Srila Prabhupada said, then they won't be serving Krishna, they'll be serving the money. And we see it's quite common that devotees getting a stipend, if you want to call it, or a salary for worshipping the deity. I'm talking about in ISKCON here. And then they're gone. Why? Another town president offered them more. Quite common in India, I know. So you may say it's realistic, he has a family to look after, but practically he's thinking of the money. What's in it for me? So it becomes... actually, Srila Prabhupada said many things about that. I made a whole section in my upcoming book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, on this. Srila Prabhupada said that... that's the difference between our men and those of others. And he said this Yogi Mahesh, he has to pay his men, but we don't pay. They do more work and more service. If you pay to get all the services done, it goes smoothly. Because people know if they don't get paid, if they don't do their work, they're out of a job. It works very efficiently. You can work. If you're a good manager and you pay everyone to do the cooking, do the cleaning, do the cutting the sabjis and everything, you can run a temple very efficiently. The only problem is that no one will make any advancement in devotional service. And the atmosphere also in the temple will not be conducive for anyone to do devotional service, nor can anyone in the temple preach to others to perform selfless devotional service. And even if someone comes and they want to perform selfless devotional service, the devotees in the temple they'll be very afraid of them. And we see that. They don't want them to come and join, because if someone's doing it for nothing, then I'm out of a job. These are realities as I observe them. Hare Krishna.
More on this sheet. Once the soul goes back to the spiritual world with the Paramatma in the heart, also go with him? No need. Prabhupada said Paramatma is for the material world. He gave the example that when there's a Kumbh Mela, the police suppose if it's in wherever, let's say it's in hardware, the police create a whole police section. It's like an army almost to see to the all the things that need to be seen to at the Kumbh Mela. And they're there for the duration of the fair. And when the Kumbh Mela winds up, they're all absorbed back into the police department. So Prabhupada said Krishna deputes himself to be in the heart of the living being, as long as it's in this material world. In the spiritual world, Krishna is there directly. What is the meaning of surrender in everyday life? Surrender means anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya manu. Trasya jiti, like that. To accept everything favorable for Krishna's service, reject everything unfavorable. To think that Krishna will protect me, to always be very humble in me, Krishna will maintain me. This way. Okay, we'll do them all first. What are the key points to make our sadhana strict? Four regular principles, strictly, 16 rounds, strictly, and be very serious about avoiding 10 offenses. That's the first thing. Then rising early in the morning, Prabhupada would say. Then according to your situation, your Mangalarti is very nice. Reading something in the morning time, according to what your program is. If you're in the temple, simply following the temple program. If you're outside, then you have to make your own program. I dismissed this alarm an hour ago and I'm coming back.
Everyone, please turn off their cell phone. Yeah, please do so. So no more disturbances. Everyone has a phone. Please take it out of your pocket and switch it off. Thank you.
How can we please our spiritual master? Do what he says. How can we know that we are progressing in spiritual life? Prabhupada sometimes said everybody will know. Face is the index of mind. But another time he said, it's like eating. Nobody has to tell you. Now you're eating, now you're full. And you'll feel fully satisfied. You won't want to eat more.
How do I know whether I'm ready for initiation? No one's ready. Beg for mercy. Often we hear this question, how do I know how to choose a guru? It's like choosing a pair of socks or something like this. The idea is that we have to beg for mercy, not that, my dear guru, I beg to inform you that by my divine grace, I'm giving you the great good fortune of accepting all my sinful reactions. Take advice from those who are guiding you about these matters. One shouldn't avoid initiation and think I'm too fallen. But at the same time, one should always think that what is initiation? It means accepting mercy. It's a statement that I understand. I'm very fallen, and I've come to accept the mercy. That's all.
Are there specific qualities to look for when deciding which to your devotees to read Bhagavatam with? Or should one just be grateful and satisfied that they found devotees who want to read? Yes, one quality. Well, there are different answers. One answer is in Nectar of Devotion, it said one should try to seek the association of devotees who are more advanced. So good if we read devotees with devotees who are more advanced, who have greater tastes than we do, and so on. Another answer is, hey, you found somebody who wants to read. Fantastic. You're qualified. A third answer is, if you found somebody who doesn't want to read, he's also a good person to read with, because he needs it.
Great. There is etiquette in the temple and also in Vedic society, but how should a Mataji present herself while on Harinam Sankirtan? How does one maintain chastity on Harinam while also not diluting their capability to engage souls in service? Or is service to Krishna the most chaste thing one can do, either male or female bodied? This was a dilemma that some of Srila Prabhupada's lady disciples presented to him. They were going out daily distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Los Angeles. And they wanted to know how that fitted with the decorum and the chastity expected of ladies. So Srila Prabhupada, I wrote about this specific incident in my book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. So Srila Prabhupada said that for Krishna, you can be aggressive. In the temple, you'd be humble and submissive. And in a purport, I believe it's in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes that one should be like a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So preaching is so much required that although it's not normal by Vedic etiquette that ladies should go out in public and solicit donations from others, but because it's an ongoing emergency situation. In India, I may advise differently, because there's still some culture and some understanding of these things. But there's no understanding of these things here. Very little. Little bit. Just, I was speaking with Kalki Prabhu this morning. And he told me that sometimes when he's out on book distribution, some of the young ladies, or maybe the older ladies also, they want to hug him. And he tells them, sorry, I'm a monk. Please don't do that. And then he said, they mostly understand. Otherwise, there's not much understanding of these things. Oh, and this is specifically about Harinam Sankirtan. Yeah, so Harinam Sankirtan, we used to have the system that the men would go in the front and the back and the ladies in the middle. But they may also go out and distribute, used to be back to Godheads with the Harinam Sankirtan, or give out cookie prasadam like this. You can also ask your husband what he's satisfied with. The Pati Guru, who directs the life of the directs the life of the wife practically on a day-to-day basis. It's a it is a dilemma, because on the one hand we're trying to establish Varnashram for the benefit of all of human society, in which there are specific roles for various grades of society and for ladies in general. On the other hand, fire of material life is burning ever more intensely, and we have to deliver Srila Prabhupada's books and the holy name to others. So with many of these questions, many of the questions that come up, you can just give a general reply, and then specifically how it's to be applied in your own personal situation, that you may take advice from devotees who are with you there in that situation.
I have crippling social anxiety disorder, and I cannot manage to preach to non-devotees or distribute books because I become very terrified. Yet it appears that one cannot truly enter into the mood of Lord Chaitanya's movement without preaching. This is a big conundrum. What can I do? There's so much service to do. If you can distribute books, it's wonderful. If you stay home and serve the deities or do some other service, it's wonderful. If you support the book distribution in some way, it's wonderful. Prabhupada used to quote, Indian railways had a slogan, keep the wheels turning. That means not only the engineer, but everyone, the caterers, the ticket collectors, the people who spray for mosquitoes, everyone who's doing anything, people who are laying tracks, they're all keeping the wheels turning. So you may not be on the front lines delivering books to people, but you can provide the song for the devotees, you can serve the deities, inspire the devotees, you can do so many things. You can preach on the internet. There's a cartoon. Two dogs are sitting in front of computer screens, and one dog says to the other, on the internet, no one knows that you're a dog.
How does one keep a balance in devotion to Krishna, hearing, chanting, reading, seva, etc., while also surrendering to what needs to be done for the temple devotees, and or authorities? Yeah, it's, again, a conundrum, because there's unlimited service to do. At the same time, we have to maintain our own spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada gave the formula, morning and evening programs, and the rest of the time service. But sometimes it happens that there's so many services to do that it's difficult to keep up with the programs, especially in those who are involved with temples, or even not temple. Here you must be celebrating Janmashtami also, Charlotte, celebrate here. It's a lot of work to do. How's everyone's japa, those who are involved in the management of this? How are you doing, Praveen Govinda? How's your japa today? He's out there somewhere he's not here, he's out in the kitchen organizing something. So it can become difficult, but during festivals especially, to maintain one's sadhana properly. But it's very dangerous to get in a habit of not regularly performing sadhana. Maybe for a few days, then we can make up, maybe on Ekadashis, or go to a Shravan Kirtan camp and engage in Shravan and Kirtan to get a boost. Those who are managing may be more difficult. There was one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, as he related it to me, he started that he would chant 14 rounds in the morning, and then he left the other two for later. But then it often happened he'd forget, he was busy all day, forget to do them. So instead of rectifying that, he went down to 12, and then the same thing happened. And gradually went down and down and down, and he's still a devotee, he's not a swami. He lost the strength that comes. So, important to keep a balance in one's devotion. Even if the various devotees say that, no, there's this service needs doing, that service needs doing. At some point, you may say that, Prabhu, I need some time for reading and chanting and all these things. But that again shouldn't be an excuse. In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada, he saw that the temple wasn't being cleaned, wasn't clean, and during the morning program. So he said that it should be cleaned after Mangal Arati, the whole temple floor. And then I believe it was Bhavananda who said to Srila Prabhupada, well, they like to chant their rounds. Prabhupada said they're not chanting, they're sleeping. He said, first cleaning, then japping. How to keep a balance? It's a big question in everyone's life, generally. How to keep one very good way to keep a balance in this high pressure society is cut out of the high pressure society and go to the farm. One of my disciples, he was brahmachari for many years, doing book distribution in city centers. Then he went to the farm, got married, and he said that generally we think that if you're in a brahmachari in a temple, your sadhana has got to be better than a householder, right? But he said, my sadhana is much better. We have 3 times a day programs, and there's no running around here and there, you have to go here, go there, and you just stay in one place. And he has service during the day, but 3 times a day they get together for kirtan, for shravan kirtan. So you, as a grihastha, you can have better sadhana than the brahmacharis. How about that? Wow. Another thing is, one of...
better ways to get better sadhana.
That had to come from you. That's true. Another of your favorite themes... another one of your favorite themes is the Panchash Ordvang Vanang Rajit. 50 years old, the kids are grown up, or at least grown up enough, cut out. Cut out. You don't have to work like an ass all your life and try and squeeze in a few rounds here and there. You don't have to do it. Just retire. Do full-time service. And even then you won't get the time, because full-time service means it's a pressure, the ISKCON pressure cooker. But in at least you'll be working for Krishna instead of working for some Kripana Durajana. Bifale Shevinu Kripana Durajana Chapala Shuka Lava Lagire. There's no need to go on working for some company. No need. Why? Serve Krishna.
Can we do Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a substitute of Gaura Arati? That means, I guess, the Gaura Arati song. Absolutely. You can do Hare Krishna as a substitute for everything. The Prabhupada would told the early devotees, you know, if they couldn't memorize Keshavayana Ramadan, just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, what is that? All the mantras and understandings and
Sarva mantra sarnam e shastra marma is one. Mm. Then there are so many.
Everything's included in Hare Krishna.
What is it? Sadhana. Sadhya sadhana tatta jesh kichu shokal harinam shankirtane milibe shokal. There are many such statements.
And it doesn't work the other way around, that if you substitute so many things for Hare Krishna, as we sometimes see these days, that doesn't improve life.
Question for myself. If we are being provided free food from the government, for instance, soya milk, should we accept it if it contains vitamins from non-vegetarian sources, D3, B12, etc.? Should we consume milk products if we have no access to dairy products from protected cows? We have to protect yourself to answer this one. And you put on some armor from the vegan militants if you don't answer it the way they like. Srila Prabhupada said that we should take milk even if it has fish oil in it. That was specifically in America. Is that state-wise or is it federal law that milk has to have fish oil in it? No, don't know. I believe in many countries you're not allowed to buy milk unless it's pasteurized and processed. Yeah. Whoops.
You don't have to add fish oil.
No. But does that mean we can take all kinds of food if they have? Does that extend the license to all kinds of things if they have food from animal sources? Many years ago, there was an interview in published in Back to Godhead with Bhava Ananda, and he was asked about, well, in the cheese is made, or maybe I'm getting mixed up, but it was him who said this. The cheese, you buy the cheese and only a tiny little bit of rennet is used to curdle the milk to make the cheese. The rennet comes from the cows' stomachs, kill the cows, and only a tiny, tiny amount. And he replied that, yeah, but to get the rennet, you have to kill the cow. That was his answer. How far do we go with this? It's very difficult in the modern age to use anything. Everything is from animal products, some glue, maybe made with animal products. Practically everything. If it's not for animal products, then it's by exploitation, just like we don't take, but people take coffee and tea, which is employing people in a manner that's it's practically like slave labor up to the present day. Chocolate, forcible child slave labor, so we're told. And what to speak of the rape of the earth? What to do? Everything's contaminated in Kali Yuga. So we should try our best to keep as pure as possible. And again, the farm comes into the picture, because by this time, we should have had enough farms as a movement, that we should have had enough farms that there should be enough milk supply from protected cows, that the question of having to take milk from, if you want to call it milk, I mean, there might be milk, some milk in the packet, but there's so many hormones and chemicals and preservatives. It's probably better for health not to drink that at all. So yeah, we should try and maintain purity as far as possible. Soy milk, why should soy milk? Why should we? Oh, if the government gives it, maybe you can give it to others. But you want to take soy milk? In Mayapur, I remember this in the 1970s, I think it was the Canadian government used to give gum, wheat, and some milk powder. It was terrible. Even the cows were so bad. And if anyone was foolish enough to take it, they would just completely mess up their stomach for days. The local people thought it was, when we tried to distribute to them, they wouldn't touch it. And so tried to give it to the cows, they wouldn't take it either. Maybe the American government gives better food nowadays, but... But if it's blatantly non-vegetarian, then why should we indulge in that? Should we consume milk products if we have no access to dairy products from protected cows? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada said to do so, so we should do so. But we should also work on cow protection. Very important part of the Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna is Gopal. And that's also another part of our demonstrating to the world a better way of life. A major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission was not just giving people spiritual life, but also giving them material life in a manner that is conducive to spiritual life. He had major plans for reforming the world with simple living and high thinking.
To spread Krishna consciousness, is it the combined effort of many sincere devotees working together, or one single focused disciple with extraordinary qualities like an Acharya? Well, if you're one one single focused disciple with extraordinary qualities like an acharya, good. Otherwise, work with other devotees. And even if you have extraordinary qualities, you work with other devotees. I'm not quite sure I get the thrust of this question. The combined effort of many sincere devotees working together in one single. Prabhupada didn't, we say, Prabhupada single-handedly spread, but he gave credit to the devotees who came, he said, sent by my Guru Maharaj to help him. Prabhupada didn't actually do it single-handedly. He did it single-handedly. He single-handedly engaged so many people to do it. Is there someone with the wonderful qualities of the Acharya? We're happy. But in any case, it's a joint effort, Sankirtan.
What does Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mean when he recommends that the devotee try to make association with those who are like-minded? Is this important at the stage of sadhana? Does it mean that those who have a similar disposition, aspiration, proclivities? What is that? Sajata ashaya snigdha? Sajata ashaya snigdha. Srimad Bhagavatam Sarartham Ashvado Rasikai Saha. And what's the name? Sajata Ashaya Snigdha. One should relish the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of rasikas, those who are relishing, relish it. The Sarartham, the nectar, the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in association with devotees of Swajati, which could be understood in various ways. I don't remember what the commentaries say. But it would seem from this, when we're talking about relishing association of Rasika devotees, that it's those who are, by saying Swajati means if one is, has an aspiration to or is actually relishing Krishna consciousness in the mood of a gopi or aspiring to attain that form, then studying Srimad Bhagavatam, relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of such devotees would help to churn the amrita more and more. Similarly, if one has an aspiration to serve Krishna as a queen or as a blade of grass or as a cow, so it would seem that that is the purport of that verse. But birds of a feather flock together, as Srila Prabhupada would quote, and just like Jayadvaita Maharaj and myself are here. We have similar dispositions, aspirate. I'm not exactly sure what your aspiration is in the higher levels because it's a very secret thing, but our aspiration is to serve Srila Prabhupada. The aspiration is to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, proclivities, similar. So naturally we get on well. So far, so good. Touch wood. Is there any wood? It's all plastic. It's all metal. So naturally, devotees, it's a natural thing everywhere. Even Srila Prabhupada wrote about, I believe it was in Cleveland, Ohio, some devotees black-bodied, to use the politically correct term. Is it? Is that the politically correct term? Black-bodied African-Americans, whatever. They wanted to start a center separately because they couldn't get on with the white-bodied devotees. Srila Prabhupada said, that's okay. They can do. They naturally relate with each other. So he allowed that. Indian body devotees will naturally relate to each other more easily than, say, Latino or whatever. So, find friends in devotional service who have similar outlook, disposition, aspiration, proclivities. But again, the kirtan, everything becomes in the kirtan, then it doesn't matter. It may do also, just like because someone may dance in a wild way. And myself, and I think I can speak for Jayaveda Swami, saying we wouldn't be that. If it's a wild, narcissistic way showing off, we wouldn't be that much charmed by it. Maybe others would. So maybe even the kirtan also. Personally, I have some difficulties in relating to a lot of what goes on in ISKCON today. I think most of you know that. You're not fainting when I say
I'm shocked.
What do? I made my own little bubble to a large extent. I oversee different centers and farms, and I tell them, this is how you do kirtan, this is how you dress, and they do it, and they're happy. They don't have to come to me, and I'm happy, and I'm happy in Krishna consciousness like that. And when I come to America, it's see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. It's not evil, but... Yeah, it's not evil. I shouldn't say that. Anyway, you know what I mean. I just have to go with the flow to a large extent. And my passive aggression is writing books. I learned that phrase yesterday, passive aggression.
Is getting Krishna's mercy directly or indirectly proportionate to anything like, for example, devotional service, austerity, constant endeavor? In Bhagavad Gita, yayatama bhavadante comes the title of the jhana, as one surrenders. Otherwise, it becomes, what's the word? Strange that you put in 10%, you go back to Godhead. You put in 50%, you go back to Godhead. No. Krishna recognizes that someone took Brahma, he underwent severe austerity, and Krishna appreciated that. So these things are not, otherwise it becomes worthless that it's the person who, you know, no matter what you do, you get the same response from Krishna. So Krishna appreciates the, why are we doing these things? Because ultimately they help us and Krishna appreciates it. Austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, hard endeavor to please the spiritual master, to please Krishna. Devotional service, Krishna appreciates that. Otherwise, why should you bother? Now you just coast and Krishna will. These things are appreciated. On the other side, it's not just like mechanical. We were reading that this morning, that, well, the person who reads 4 hours, he can go back to Godhead quicker than the person who only reads 2 hours. It's not just a mechanical calculation, nor is Krishna bound. If you did this much, then I have to do that much. Then it becomes karmakandya. You do this much pious credit, pious activity, you have this much credit, and you can get this much, you know, like frequent flyer awards. It's not like that. Krishna's Swarup is free, he can do as he likes. But there are things that he appreciates. And some of those are mentioned here.
How important is it to correct a devotee while doing service when there is no relationship yet with the devotee? What is the proper etiquette to correct a new devotee, devotees at the same level, friends, without demotivating them? How important is correct a devotee? It depends, it may depend on time, place, and circumstance. I don't like to quote time, place, and circumstance very much because it's often used as an excuse for all kinds of bogus things.
Yes.
But Srila Prabhupada, he often quoted this, what is that? Mana Krishna Nivesha. What is that? How does that begin? How does that begin? Yeah, that it somehow or other bring people to devotional service and then introduce the rules and regulations. So Srila Prabhupada said that especially in his opening days or the beginning of his mission in America. He said, in the beginning I never told them so many things, to wear these clothes. But eventually he introduced more rules. Once we have a society of devotees fixed up with a standard, it becomes easier. Then the standards. After some time, Srila Prabhupada said, don't allow them to join unless they're ready to follow the rules. So if we have the standards well set up, then people can come. He said they can come and chant with us, see what we're doing. When they're ready, they can come and live with us. So in the time, place, and circumstance, hippie land in San Francisco in 1967, Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone, come and chant. Only gradually he introduced standards. I have a section on that in my upcoming book, The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's gradually introducing. So if we should have centers in which the proper standard is lived by brahmacharis and vanaprastas and sannyasis and maybe some renounced grihasthas living in the centers, they perform devotional service at a proper standard, then others can see what is the standard. And we force them, they can stay outside and perform devotional service, and living outside try to come to that standard also. So it becomes very easy to correct others when there is a clear standard for them to follow. It becomes easy if they actually are desirous to come to that standard. If they're not yet convinced about the need to be Krishna conscious, then there's no use to tell them so many rules, this, that. In India you can to some extent, even if they're not very much in Krishna consciousness, you can, because so much of the rules of Krishna consciousness, they overlap with traditional Vedic culture, which still there are remnants of it in India. So again, time, place, and circumstance. Talking about the proper etiquette about how to correct devotees, new devotees, and devotees of the same level, friends. Well, that to a large extent, if you're sincerely trying to help others by correcting them, then gradually you'll get experience how to do so. And as you yourself act in devotional service at an exemplary standard for some years, when that's seen that you yourself are, then you may not need to say very much to others if you respect it for that.
Another question. How far over time do you want to go?
I didn't have my watch. We're over time?
Yeah.
Okay, let's leave it. It's supposed to, all right. It's supposed to be in the afternoon, another question. We can continue. There are not many questions here. So we're over time, yeah. So let's stop. It's prasadam time. What's the time?
1:37.
Oh, so let's finish now. Hare Krishna.